Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldreyer, and today we're Mesechus Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph, the fourth parak, Yontav. Mesechus Rosh Hashanah has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chai Bas Esther. Before I begin the show, I want to invite you to the upcoming Zichu Grand Chizuk event, taking place in Passaic, New Jersey on Sunday, November 21st, in celebration of being Messiah Mesechus Rosh Hashanah, and for reaching the 25% of Shas milestone. It's going to be an unforgettable night of inspiration. I hope to see you there. For more information, please email info@zichru.com. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a braisa taught the shir sheyom that was sung with the tamid each day of the week, and the reasons each shir was chosen. Rav Yehuda said in the Imre Kiva, on the first day of the week, Sunday, we recite Lashem ha'aretz u'melah, Hashem is the earth and its fullness, in reference to the fact that on the first day of creation, Hashem acquired the universe and bequeathed it to mankind, and ruled over his world by himself. On the second day of the week, they would recite, Gadol Hashem u'mehu me'od, great is Hashem, much praise in the city of our God, mount of his holiness, in reference to the fact that on the second day, he separated the things that he made and reigned over them. Rashi explains that on the second day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Rekia, the firmament, which divides between the upper and lower strata of creation, and established his dwelling above. This psalm speaks of a similar division on earth, the separation of Yerushalayim and the Har Bayis from the rest of the world as the place where Shekhinah is manifest. The Braisa continues explaining the psalm selected for the remaining days of the week. Point number two, Rav Yehuda Bar Idi said in the Nirmal Yochanan, Esther Masa'os Nasa Shekhinah Mikroi. The Shekhinah journeyed 10 journeys during the period of the destruction of Bayis Rishon, as Kima derived from Psukim, Uknegdan Galsan Sanhedrin Megemorah, and correspondingly, the Sanhedrin was exiled 10 exiles during the period of the destruction of Bayis Sheni, as is known from oral tradition. The 10 journeys of the Shekhinah were from the Kiporos to one Kruv, and then from that Kruv to the other Kruv, then to the Mifsan, the threshold, which Rashi explains is the threshold of the Heichal, then from there to the Chatzer, then to the Mizbech, then to the roof of the Heichal, and then to the wall of the Chatzer, and then to the city of Yerushalayim, and then to Har Zeisim, and then to the Midbar. And finally, the Midbar also be Yashab bin Koma. From the wilderness, it ascended to Shemaim and settled in its place. As it stated, Elech Ashuve El Makomi, I will go, I will return to my place. Rav Yochanan said, Shisha Chadash Nisak v'Shechinah Yisrael b'Midbar. For 6 months, the Shechinah lingered for Yisrael in the wilderness, hoping they would do Teshuvah. When they did not, he said, Tipach Hatzman, may their very essence suffer agony. And point number three, it's time to pray, Ein Kohanim Rishayim L'Alos B'San D'Lein L'Duchan. Kohanim are not permitted to ascend the Duchan in their sandals for Birchas Kohanim. The Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Amud Aleph explains that this was instituted because of the concern that a Kohen might sit down during Birchas Kohanim to tie a loose strap, and people might suspect him of refraining from reciting the bracha because of a psul and his yichus. And this is one of the 9 enactments of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted. 6 of the tekanos are in this parak, 1 is in the first parak. The 8th one is that he annulled the decree that a ger must set aside a quarter shekel for his kinim, for his bird pair, the minimum shear, so he would be prepared to bring it when the base of Mikdash will be rebuilt. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai annulled it mipnei tekala, because of the stumbling block it created, since he might come to use the money for something else. There's some halachos regarding what the 9th tekana was. So once again, the 3 points are, number 1, a braisa taught the shir shel yom that was sung with the tamid each day of the week, and the reason each shir was chosen. Rav Yehuda said in the Imre Kiva, on the first day of the week, Sunday, we recite, Lashem ha'aretz u'melah, Hashem is the earth and its fullness, in reference to the fact that on the first day of creation, Hashem acquired the universe and bequeathed it to mankind and ruled over his world by himself. On the second day of the week, they would recite, Gadol Hashem u'melahu me'od, great is Hashem and much praise in the city of our God, mount of his holiness, in reference to the fact that on the second day, he separated the things that he made and reigned over them. Rashi explains that on the second day, Hashem created the Rekia, the firmament, which divides between the upper and lower strata of creation and establishes dwelling above. This psalm speaks of a similar division on earth, the separation of Yerushalayim and the Har Bayis from the rest of the world as the place where Shekhinah is manifest. The Braisa continues explaining the psalm selected for the remaining days of the week. Point number 2, Rav Yehuda Bar Idi said in the name of Yochanan, Esther Masa'os Nasa Shekhinah Mikroi. The Shekhinah journeyed 10 journeys during the period of the destruction of Bayis Rishon, as came derived from Sukkim, Uknegdan Galsan Sanhedrin Megemorah. And correspondingly, the Sanhedrin was exiled 10 exiles during the period of the destruction of Bayis Sheni, as is known from oral tradition. The 10 journeys of the Shekhinah were from the Kiporos to one Kruv, and then from that Kruv to the other Kruv, then to the Mifsan, the threshold, which Rashi explains is the threshold of the Heichal, then from there to the Chatzer, then to the Mizbech, then to the roof of the Heichal, and then to the wall of the Chatzer, and then to the city of Yerushalayim, and then to Har Zeisim, and then to the Midbar. And finally, Midbar also v'yashav b'mkoma. From the wilderness, it ascended to Shemaim and settled in its place, as it stated, Elech Ashuve El Makomi. I will go, I will return to my place. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shisha Chadashim Nisak B'Shechina Yisrael B'Midbar. For 6 months, the Shechina lingered for Yisrael in the wilderness, hoping that they would do Teshuvah. When they did not, he said, Tipach Hatzman. May their very essence suffer agony. And point number 3, it was taught in a Braisa, Ein Kohanim Rishayim Lalos B'Sandalehen L'Duchan. Kohanim are not permitted to ascend the Duchan in their sandals for Birchas Kohanim. The Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Amud Aleph explains that this was instituted because of the concern that a Kohen might sit down during Birchas Kohanim to tie a loose strap, and people might suspect him of refraining from reciting the bracha because of a psul in his yichus. And this is one of the 9 enactments of Yochim and Zakkai instituted. 6 of the takanas are in this parak, 1 is in the first parak. The 8th one is that he annulled the decree that a ger must set aside a quarter shekel for his kinim, for his bird pair, the minimum shears, so he'll be prepared to bring it when the base of Mikdash will be rebuilt. Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai annulled it mipnei takala, because of the stumbling block it created, since he might come to use the money for something else. There's some halachos regarding what the 9th takana was. All right, so now we go to our siman daf lamed aleph, and our standard siman is the law, and we use a judge to make it a little more distinct. So judge is our siman. So here goes. The judge who sang the Shir Shel Yom as he entered the courtroom suddenly stopped when he looked at the weather-beaten defendant who had survived 10 exiles all the way into the wilderness, only to be put on trial because he ascended the Duchen wearing sandals in violation of 1 of 9 takanos. Once again, it's a motion. The judge, that must ruin daf lamed aleph, law. The judge who sang the Shir Shel Yom as he entered the courtroom, which reminds us we have a braisa that teaches why each Shir Shel Yom was chosen. So the judge who sang the Shir Shel Yom as he entered the courtroom suddenly stopped when he looked at the weather-beaten defendant who had survived 10 exiles all the way into the wilderness, which reminds us that we learned about the Esrei Masa'os, the 10 journeys that the Shekhinah took as it went to exile during the destruction of Bais Rishon, and correspondingly the Sanhedrin was exiled 10 exiles during the destruction of Bais Sheni. So the judge who sang the Shir Shel Yom as he entered the courtroom suddenly stopped when he looked at the weather-beaten defendant who had survived 10 exiles all the way into the wilderness, only to be put on trial because he ascended the Duchen wearing sandals in violation of 1 of 9 takanas. Which reminds Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai enacted 9 takanas, the 8th one being Kohanim are not permitted to ascend the Duchen in their sandals for Birkas Kohanim. The Gemara in Sota explains that this was instituted because of the concern that people might sit down during Birkas Kohanim to tie a loose strap, and people might suspect him of refraining from reciting the bracha because of a psul in his yichus. So once again, the judge who sang the Shir Shel Yom as he entered the courtroom suddenly stopped when he looked at the weather-beaten defendant who had survived 10 exiles all the way into the wilderness, only to be put on trial because he ascended the Duchen wearing sandals in violation of 1 of 9 takanas. All right, now it's time to go to our 4 blah back chazara. Daf Chav Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The 2 kids who proudly blew their silver kazoos, that must be more on Daf Chav Zayin. The 2 kids who proudly blew their silver kazoos, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chav Vav and Beis State regarding blowing the shofar Rosh Hashanah in the base of Migdash, the 2 trumpets are blown at the sides. The shofar Marich, V'chatzros is Mekatzros, Shemitzos is Yom B'Shofar. The shofar blast is extended, the trumpets blow short, for the midst of the day is with the shofar. The Gemara clarifies that 2 sounds from 2 people are discernible in certain circumstances, such as in the case of Halal and Megill, where even 10 people can read them simultaneously, Kevin Dochaviv Yahiv Daite. Since each of these readings are dear to the listener, he puts his mind to discern every word. Here too, since the mitzvah of shofar is dear, he puts his mind to hear the sound of the shofar while the trumpets are blown. So the 2 kids who probably blew their silver kazoos as the Baal Tekea blew a shofar, whose mouth was plated in gold, which reminds us, the Mishnah says that the mouth of the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah in the base of Migdash is plated with gold, whereas the mouths of shofars blown on fast days are plated with silver. 2 reasons are given for the difference. If you prefer, you can say every assembly is convened with silver instruments based on the Pasuk, or you can say a Torah Chasam, Mamon and Shei Yisrael. The Torah was concerned for Yisrael's money and did not want to burn the communal treasury with the expense of plating with gold. The Gemara said if there's a monetary burden, then the shofar of Rosh Hashanah should also be plated with silver, and answers, Afil Hachi, Kavid Yantav Adif. Nevertheless, contributing to the honor of Rosh Hashanah by plating the shofar with gold is a greater consideration. So the 2 kids who probably blew their silver kazoos as the Baal Tekea blew a shofar, whose mouth was plated in gold, were appalled when their friend blew into his kazoo from the wrong end. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa hafku v'takabo u'yatza, if he reversed the shofar and blew into it, he's not fulfilled his chiv. The Torah says, v'havarta, and shall cause a truah to pass. This teaches derech havarasu be'inan, that we require the shofar to be blown in a manner in which it is carried on the animal's head, meaning with the original narrow end still narrow and the original wide end still wide. Dav chav ches. So the simmer dav chav ches is a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more on dav chav ches. the strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola, which reminds us, Reb Yehuda holds one should not blow the shofar of an ola, but if he did, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas one should not blow the shofar of a shalmi. If he did, he hasn't fulfilled his chiyuv. What's the difference between them? Ola is bas me'ila here, and ola is subject to me'ila. Therefore, once he blew its horn and thereby committed me'ila with it, the horn goes out to the unconsecrated state. Rabbah say that one does fulfill his chiyuv with both of them, because mitzvahs love hanisni. The mitzvahs were not given to Yisrael for the purpose of deriving benefit from the fulfillment. Rashi explains that they were given as a yoke upon one's neck. So the strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola to play his favorite song, which reminds us, Rabbah said that a ruling that one who is forced to eat matzah is yotzi's chiyuv indicates that one who blows a shofar in Rosh Hashanah for the purpose of playing a song has also fulfilled his chiyuv. Rav is coming to teach that one might have thought in the case of matzah, echo matzah amarachmanu b'ha'acho. The Torah said, eat matzah, and this coerced person, in fact, ate matzah and fulfilled the mitzvah. Whereas in the second case, zikron tru aksiv, it's written that on Rosh Hashanah there shall be a remembrance of shofar blast, v'hai masasik ba'amahu, and this one is merely a preoccupied individual, and therefore does not fulfill the mitzvah. Kamash mon, that Rav is coming to inform us that they are indeed analogous, and the shofar blower also fulfills his chiyuv. So from here we see the Rav holds, mitzvahs ein tzrichos kavana. Mitzvahs do not require kavana. So the strong man who blew with all of his might into a shofar that was taken from an ola to play his favorite song couldn't wake up his friend who went to sleep in a sukkah on the eighth day of sukkahs with kavana. Which reminds us that Rebbe rules regarding a case where one sleeps in a sukkah on the eighth day, that with respect to violating Baal Tosiv, the rule is that during the mitzvah's designated time, kavana is not required. Shelo bezmano boy kavana, but not during its designated time, it does require kavana. Daf Chav Tes. So the Simur Daf Chav Tes is a cot. So here goes. The man sitting on the cot, that must be more in Daf Chav Tes. The man sitting on the cot with his arms raised in the air, which reminds me, we learn from Moshe raising his hands in the Mochama with a Malik, that Kol Zman Shai Yisrael Mestakim Klapei Malik, so long as Yisrael gazed upward, Meshabim Yisliban Levihim Sheshamayim, Haim Yisgabrim, and subjugate their heart to their Father in heaven, they would prevail, but if not, they would fall. The same lesson is learned from the Nachash and the Choshes that was placed on a pole so that those afflicted in the plague would look up to Avihem Sheshamayim. So the man sitting on the cot with his arms raised in the air was surrounded by Kohanim and Levim, who'd gathered to listen to the blowing of the shofar, which reminds us that it was necessary for the Tan to teach that Kohanim and Levim are chayiv in Tekiya shofar. For if he had not done so, you might have said that since we learned in the Mishnah, Shabbat Yovel Rosh Hashanah, Tekiya Habrachos, the laws of the Yovel year are identical to the laws of Rosh Hashanah with regard to the blowing and the Habrachos, only someone who's subject to Yovel in its entirety is chayiv in the Tekiya's Rosh Hashanah. But Kohanim and Levim, since they're not subject to the laws of Yovel year in its entirety, since Kohanim and Levim may sell their property at any time and may redeem it at any time, we would say that they're not obligated to miss the Tekiya's Shofar from Rosh Hashanah. Kamashmon, the Tana therefore informs us that they are indeed chayiv. So the man sitting on the cot with his arms raised in the air was surrounded by Kohanim and Levim, who gathered to listen to the blowing of the shofar that the head of Basin said to blow on Shabbos. Which reminds us of how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted blowing the shofar by Basin and Yavda on Shabbos after the Churban of Bai Sheni. He told the B'nai ben Sarah that they should blow and then they'll deliberate. And after it was blown, he said, the horn has been heard on Shabbos and Yavda, and one should not refute Basin after the deed has been done. Rashi explains that if they now forbid blowing even in Basin, people will say their blowing was done in error, which will expose them to ridicule. Daf Lamed. So the Simur Daf Lamed is a Malamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe. That must be more Daf Lamed, Malamed. The Rebbe, who was waiting with his Talmidim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chav Tes on the Beis brought him a close regarding Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's enactment of blowing the shofar on Shabbos after the Churban. Rabbi Elazar said he only enacted blowing the shofar in Yavne, and the Chami said to him that he instituted both for Yavne and for any place in which there's a Beis Din. Rav Huna said the im basin, and the blowing must be done with basin. The first version of Rav Huna's statement explains that im basin means in the presence of basin. The mere existence of a basin in a city is not an adequate deterrent to prevent people from carrying the shofar in Rishus of Rabbim on Shabbos. So the Rebbe, who was waiting with his Talmidim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din, decided to do something as a Zecher of Mikdash, which reminds us when the Beis of Mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that there would be taken the provinces all 7 days of Sukkot, Zecher of Mikdash, as a remembrance of the Beis of Mikdash. The Gemara brings a source that we're bidden to make a Zecher of Mikdash from the pasuk Tzion hi dorish einla, saying, she is Tzion, there is none who seek her. From the words dorish einla, there is none who seek her, mikol the boy Drisha. It's implied that she requires seeking. So the Rebbe was waiting with his Talmidim to listen to the shofar blowing on Shabbos outside of Beis Din, designed to do something as a Zecher HaMikdash. So he held a class discussion if the Levim should sing the Shir Shalom if Edim of the Chodesh are delayed in coming. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rishonim becoming Edim of the Chodesh Kol HaYom, originally they accepted Edim of the Chodesh all day. It once occurred that the witnesses were delayed in coming, mean, he's called Levim Bashir, and the Levim went awry in the singing of the daily Shir. Consequently, the Chamim instituted the basin should only accept Edim until the Mincha, referring to the afternoon Tamid, and if they came from Mincha onward on Rosh Hashanah, they would observe that day and the following day as holy. The Gemara asks him, which way did the Levim go awry? In Bava, they explain Shul Amr Shira Kol Iker, that the Levim did not recite a Shir at all. Rabbi Zera Neres Yisrael said, Shamr Shira Shol Chol Im Tamid Shol Ben Arbaim, that they recited the weekday Shira with the afternoon Tamid. All right, that concludes today's Shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman of Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.